Welcome to Therapy in 10, where Darcy and Hannah combine both their lived and professional experience to bring you a fresh take on mental health, tackling tough questions in just 10 minutes. Each episode is chock full of stories that will make you cry, laugh, and restore your faith. We're so glad you're here. Hey everyone, welcome back to Therapy in 10. I'm Hannah and I am here again with my friend Darcy this week. Darcy, I missed you last week and I'm so glad that you're back today.
I'm so glad to be back today too.
Yeah, so today is episode 8 of our season 3, which is our faithful yet struggling season. And today's episode it's titled When It Seems Like Others Are Getting What You're Praying For. So today we're going to talk about just the struggle to stay faithful when we look around us and it seems like the things that we are praying for or the things that we've been hoping for are not only not coming to pass in our life, but we're looking around at others' lives and it seems like they are getting what we are praying for. And not only that, but it can sometimes seem as if others who are not making any efforts to follow Christ and maybe even unbelievers are living more blessed lives than we are. It's a hard space to be in, and today's episode will hopefully help with some encouragement and perspective if you find yourself in this place.
Yeah, I mean, this is a much needed topic for so many of us because, you know, I think the aspect of just envy, jealousy, not keeping our eyes on our path is just one that most of us struggle with. You know, starts in childhood and, you know, somebody's got a cooler shoes than me, you know what I mean? And then it goes into more in-depth things as we get older, you know? So my best friend and I, you know, we were at lunch the other day and I said, sometimes I just wish we could go back to being 20 and naive, like our carefree days at the beach. And this was before we had smartphones and tech to cover our lives. So, you know, that's one aspect that I miss, but yeah. As we reminisced on those days, I thought about just how much, and in quotes, life we have endured and gone through since then. You know, there's been deaths, loved ones with addictions and divorce and lost relationships. And I think how we probably didn't even imagine all the hardships and trials we would go through in the next two decades when we were sitting on that beach. And I know for a fact that the life we imagined some 20 years ago was does not look like we expected or gone as we had planned.
Yeah.
However, we also have never fathomed just how beautiful the overcoming of the things thrown our way would be, or just how perfect God's plan has been for our lives, even the hard stuff, you know, and we reminded ourselves of all the blessings and the births and the weddings and the, you know, first home purchases and, you know, just deep friendships and as we've had just doing life together. And when I think though of these trials and the tough times that we were talking about, that's usually when we are looking to see if our neighbor's grass is a little greener. Or maybe it's, you know, in the moment when we're asking the why God questions that we tend to amplify our hardships and say, you know, why can't I just be like so-and-so? You know, why do things seem so easy for them? Or why do they get all the good things in this life? And it's so easy for envy to creep up in these struggle seasons. And I would also beg to say, it tends to creep up in our mundane days too.
Yeah.
You know, I remember having that feeling of others getting what I wanted and prayed for when we were trying to get pregnant with our first son. And it was just taking longer than expected. And I remember in that time, you know, I threw a baby shower for one of my close friends and several other friends were announcing pregnancies and having babies. And I just remember trying really hard to push the resentment and aching feeling down and trusting that God would provide a child for us in only his perfect timing. And I had to keep my wandering eyes from hurting my heart more by keeping my eyes on him. So, you know, the key is keeping our eyes on Jesus and out of our neighbor's yard. And it's in those times that I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes 3 and take comfort in those words. You know, guys, we're not always harvesting. You can't have a harvest without planting and care. And then there are those seasons where your harvest gets ruined. And that's when we have to reach into our stores of just keep going. And I just want to read the beautiful words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3:3-8. And that's that famous one, a time for everything. And it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. You know, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, and a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, and a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, and a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. And guys, I don't know if you know this, but Solomon was the one who had prayed, who asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom and all that came with it, all the things that came with wisdom. And this was actually, Ecclesiastes 3 was actually written when he was much older and he was reflecting on life. And you know, he had been given that gift of wisdom. And now as he's older, he's just looking back at life. And I just love these words, you know. And one of the things I've learned, especially in the past decade, is that we all have our troubles. We all have good seasons and bad seasons. Most things aren't really as it seems on the surface. You know, you can talk about the deception of social media. We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. Look at someone's material assets and think they're doing really well at their career, when in reality, they're in debt up to their eyeballs. I don't know how many times I've been shocked by divorce announcements when the relationship looks great to the outsider. At times, yeah, there are things that are really great for someone we know, whether that Christ follower or not. And with that said, envy and coveting is up to us. So we have to address our insecurities, because envy often stems from there. You know, when we learn to control these feelings and find contentment in who we are and where we are at this point in time, we win. Every time we win, when we can do that. And so if I find myself becoming jealous of someone because of looks, material things, jobs, etc., I have to take a step back and pray about it specifically, acknowledging the weakness that I am dealing with in detail. And I often surprised to find that not only praying, but also praying for that person I'm envious of and celebrating his or her success helps me to move past this awkward gawking stage, is what I call it. And I've had to distance myself. There are times I've had to distance myself from others when the relationship is constantly sabotaged with feelings of envy from either party. I honestly don't want to hang out with someone who's jealous of me, and I want to be around someone who constantly stirs up envy in my soul. It's just not a pleasant feeling.
So much good stuff. I have, like, literally sitting here jotting down things that I wanted to, like, comment on, and like, but then I'm like, oh, you said it all. It's just such good stuff. I mean, we've harped on social media. I mean, we can say that over and over, but like, yeah, I mean, I think this problem in general with, like, the envy and the jealousy, and I like that you said, like, keep your eyes out of your neighbor's backyard, but like, literally and figuratively, I mean, things, like you said, can just look so good from the outside and just can be complete havoc on the inside. But all we see is the outside, mainly because of social media, but also just in general. I mean, we could be out at a restaurant and like see a family eating and they seem like everything's all great and good. And then as soon as they get in the car, they're yelling at each other. You know, it's just, we see about 1% of most people's lives. And I think just keeping that in mind, but when you were first at the very beginning talking about just like struggles and the hard things that we face, and I think sometimes it's like you said, like, why am I dealing with this? Why me? Why can't I have these other good things? You know, or looking at other people's lives that appear to be easy. For me, this concept is sort of like a catch-22, right? So like I know that the Christian life is not supposed to be easy, right? In John 16:33, you know, in this world you will have troubles. But of course, then Jesus finishes and says, you know, but take heart, I've overcome the world, but we're promised troubles, right? But don't we sometimes wish we had times when it was easy? Like, I just want to have like 1 week or even like 1 day without something in that day feeling like a battle. I mean, maybe absolutely. It's just, like, maybe it's even just like a struggle to control my attitude or my tongue or dealing with unfair or unkind treatment, being misunderstood or misjudged. Like, just a little, you know, it's not necessarily that like your whole life is horrible, but like, wouldn't just like a day where you could just, you know, but then as soon as I think that I would like to have things easy, I automatically think no, like not if it means I'm not in God's will, right? Like, I mean, and so here's the truth. Like, if you're following Christ, submitting to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in you, you will live in a battlefield. because you will be living in direct conflict with the environment that you're in, which is the world, right? We're surrounded by the flesh, sinful desires. And so if like we're going along our life and everything is actually easy, like that actually might be a problem, right? At least in God's eyes, because you're not resisting the world. You're not resisting your fleshly desires. You're just doing whatever feels good, right? So when you look around at others, don't be discouraged by those who appear to be prospering and it seems they have no struggles. Don't lose heart when you're laboring for something which you cannot yet see the results of and may never see this side of heaven. That's the other thing is, you know, we might be going through these struggles or trials or whatever, but, and we may not necessarily see the good that it's bringing about until we're in heaven, you know? Proverbs 23:17-18 says, "Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off." And I think, you know, when it says sinners, it doesn't necessarily mean unbelievers or necessarily even people who are like living these horrible lifestyles. I think it just means people who are, you know, not living in fear of the Lord, you know, not following after God, you know, wholeheartedly. And this is just reminding us that there is a future. Your hope is, just as it says, will not be cut off. Like, there is still a hope. There's always a hope, no matter what your life looks like or what other people's lives look like. What you are putting your time and energy and all that into as far as following the Lord, like, it will be worth it, and there is a future. So the well-known and loved devotional Streams in the Desert, which we've talked about on here before, by L.B., I think it's Kalman, puts it this way. It says, "Being left alone by Satan is not evidence of being blessed." Yeah.
that's powerful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. little scary, but powerful mm-hmm. at the same time, you mm-hmm. know? So those are all, of course, great reminders, Hannah. You know, especially from scripture. So one of the things that I've come across in Christian writing and speaking, and I know you have too, is the constant reminder to run our own race. You know, every ministry is different. Each person has his or her own unique purpose. You know, we're reminded of running the race throughout scripture. And honestly, this is the only path that we should be concerned with. I love to tell others and remind myself, we honestly can't mess this one up. Our purpose will always prevail when it's God's purpose for our lives, and we aren't powerful enough to stop it from happening. Now, I'm sure we delay it and put some detours and, you know, potholes in the path, but His will for our life will always prevail. And one of the most popular run the race verses is found in Hebrews 12:1-2. And it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So when this verse, I love this, because if we run our own race, we don't have time to look somebody else's. We don't have time to look at their track. So this great cloud of witness that the author is referring to in this, in Hebrews 12:1-2, is actually from the previous chapter in Hebrews 11. And it gives the name of those who had already run the race and finished well. It lists some biblical characters who've held to their trust in God and his promises, despite the difficulties, they just didn't give up. And when we're talking about this race, we're referring to a spiritual marathon, not a sprint. Our spiritual lives, but in our physical lives, the things that we do also to stay within our race. And we must keep the eye on our prize, our heavenly prize. We can't endure the length of the track if we keep looking to our right or our left or behind us, or if we give in to the sins that ensnare or capture us, and envy being one at the top of the list. It certainly is for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hannah's going to talk about, she's going to place emphasis on the concept of time that we talked about earlier, about how it's not our time and the things that come in God's time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that you just made the, you know, the reference to like being a marathon, not a sprint. I mean, I think that's such a good point of just remembering that, especially when it comes to looking at time. You know, I think because one of the things I think we look at when other people are getting the things that we're praying for and that feeling that we have is because, it, you know, we wouldn't have that feeling if we like knew for sure that it was coming for us and that maybe it was later, right? We might feel like a little bit impatient, but it's that, you know, we're not necessarily sure if we're going to get those things or not, right? Other people might be getting them, but like, it's a marathon, right? So like, I mean, it's not all going to happen right when we want it. And actually, in fact, most things don't ever happen right when we want them. Like, God's sense of time is just so opposite of ours. And he may give us the things we're praying for and he may not. But, you know, as far as just this feeling of watching others get what you're praying for, let me tell you, I have lived this one too. My story isn't the same as Darcy's, but we all, I'm sure, have some circumstance we could probably point to with this one. But, you know, like Darcy said, one of the things that has always encouraged me is a reminder of God's perfect timing, like the scripture in Ecclesiastes. So I can look back over my life, and there are just like so many things that I had spent time praying for, but honestly, I wasn't patient for. And I rushed ahead of God and it literally never went well for me. I'm just going to be honest. I can look back and give you very specific examples of things where I like was praying about it technically, like I was, but then when like God took a little bit too long, or I thought that, you know, well, I don't really have a clear answer, so I'm just going to do this thing that I think I want to do, which was in reality just me being spiritually immature and selfish and wanting what I wanted when I wanted it and trying to, in some ways, I think, even justify that, well, it's a good thing. Like, I'm sure God would want me to have this. Like, but truly stepping outside of what I knew deep down to be God's timing. And what I've learned is that all of that is, what I've learned through all of that is there's a reason God's not giving you the thing you're praying for right now in this moment. It's not that he never will. And it's not even necessarily that the reason is like a bad one, that you don't deserve it or that you're not ready for it. It's not even necessarily that. There's just maybe he's protecting you from something that you're not maybe spiritually mature enough to handle yet. Or, you know, if it involves another person, maybe they're not in that place yet or whatever. But, you know, it's that a big part of this journey is the waiting, right? Like, we've talked a lot about waiting in this season, but in all honesty, I think it's because it's something we're always doing. You know, like, ultimately, we're always waiting. We're waiting for Jesus to return. We're waiting for heaven, you know. As we've said, it's that wait that is so often the thing that transforms us more than even getting what we're praying for. So I just want to offer some encouragement for the person who's out there in one of those particularly hard days. Maybe you're just praying for some respite or someone to help shoulder your burden, or you're just feeling really impatient and maybe like unseen, and just like, are my prayers hitting the ceiling? Like, what's going on? Just know that God sees you. He sees your heart. He sees your intentions, your faithfulness to trust him and allow your heart to be molded, even if no one else does, even if no one else sees those things about you. He is faithful. He will reward you, even if it's not until heaven, but I promise you it will be worth it. You know, as far as, you know, this whole theme of the season is like staying faithful, right? Like, with these struggles that we're facing, you know, watching other people get the things that we want, feeling like it's never going to be our time or our turn, or, you know, why do I have all these struggles? You know, staying faithful through that, we're not going to come face to face with Jesus either when we die or when he returns and wish that we had done more of anything other than win more souls for him, than be more faithful, right? We're not going to stand before the Holy One and throned above the heavens in all his majesty and feel as if any of the earthly struggle that we endured for the sake of becoming more like him and showing others his love was wasted. It's not going to happen. We're going to probably wish, in fact, that we had done more, right? To be more faithful, right? To trust him more, to be more patient, to do all those things. And so God honors your efforts. You know, he knows that it's a struggle. He knew that that would happen, but he sees you, he's with you, and he will sustain you.
Yes. Elroy, the God who sees you.
Yeah.
You know, was given that name by
Hagar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When he appeared to her in the wilderness. So, and sent her back into hardship,
mm-hmm.
and then reappeared again. So, you know, like Hannah said, we all have these things in our life that, you know, are struggles. We all struggle with, honestly, we all struggle with envy. Maybe some a little bit more than others. You know, I'll admit, is something that I work on all the time. It's something that I put my prayer list all the time to learn, is to be more patient with the wait and to not look in other people's yards. So guys, we hope that you got a little bit of encouragement out of this. We hope that you got a little bit something to keep you thinking this week. Friends, we would love for you to tell a friend about us and certainly come back next Wednesday for our next podcast in the season of Faithful Yet Struggling. And we're on Facebook and Instagram if you want to follow us at therapyin10 and at therapy_in_10. And you can subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening app. And we hope you have a wonderful week.